This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you for the next hour. Great show coming your way. We got a lot of baseball talk. We're going to mix in some more NFL futures as we get closer and closer to the start of football season. Training camps, mini camps starting to open up as well. We'll start off recapping a big night in Major League Baseball. We'll play a game of Rate That Prop, looking at some baseball plays for tonight, as well as some NFL player futures. We're going to have our friend Eric Halterman from RotoWire handing out his MLB card, and then we'll finish out with our best bets of the night. As always, if you want to re-listen, if you want to catch Prop Points in audio form, you can do that on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Just search VSiN, search Prop Points, and you will find us there. So, Jeff, we are back in the full swing of things in Major League Baseball. Came out of the break over the weekend. We got a whole new batch of series that started last night. We got to begin with what is still the hottest team in baseball by far, the Boston Red Sox, pushing their win streak to 14 straight last night. They take down the Orioles 6-5. Caleb Durbin with a big go-ahead homer in the bottom of the eighth inning. And look, I don't even know what else there is to say at this point. This is one of the more remarkable in-season turnarounds that we've seen in a while. I mean, Red Sox fans were pretty much done with this team by 2 or 3 weeks into the season. They were done with Caleb Durbin about 4 games into the season. He's turned things around. And, you know, I think maybe what's most impressive, Jeff, is Boston has done all of this without Garrett Crochet and without Roman Anthony. Crochet has not pitched since April. Roman Anthony has not been on the field since May 4th.
Yeah, Connelly early also on the IL for them. They've been without a lot, and they keep on rolling. Their offense, which was so moribund earlier in the season, now is producing. In the last 30 days, a 106 WRC plus. You know, if you want to just cover the last 14, because that more represents their winning streak, 119, which is six in baseball. So yeah, the pitching, which has been good all along, is finally getting some help from the offense. And Caleb Durbin is a pretty good representation of that there. It was a back and forth game last night because they faced a team in the Orioles that had won 7 in a row prior to this. So getting a lot out of, beating that team. And it was a back and forth game. Neither starter got the win. Luckily, we got our strikeout prop from Peyton Tully. But, I had a fantasy team, the NFBC main event team, where I had a whopping 7 starters. It was not such a magnificent 7 last night. 2 wins and a ERA over 6, and both of those starters walked away without a win. So tough look there as far as that goes. But yeah, the Red Sox are rolling. Ironically, Jaron Duran is not part of this equation. He is still slumping badly. In the last 21 days, 488 OPS out of him. So without one of their key players contributing, they're still doing this. It's really pretty amazing to see. No timetable on Crochet or Anthony to come back. It's just really frustrating if you have either of those two players fantasy-wise. But, man, oh, man, they're just rolling right now. They are a wild card team right now. And, hey, I wouldn't even rule out the division completely. It's still a pretty long ladder to climb. The Rays won yesterday, so they're still 6.5 back in the division. But they are. They're looking like a playoff team right now.
Rays won yesterday. Yankees won yesterday as well. So they've won 2 straight. New York currently occupying that top wild card spot in the AL. Boston is -175 right now to at least make the postseason division or wild card in the American League. Phillies Dodgers, big series going on right now. We had Trey Turner hitting 2 home runs, 5 RBI last night. Phillies took down the Dodgers 10-7. Brewers, by the way, now have the best record in baseball by virtue of a win last night, coupled with that Dodgers loss. Yes, Dodgers sir. Have dropped 5 of their last 7, Jeff. They won't have Ohtani pitching for the foreseeable future. Emmett Sheehan, forgettable effort last night. 8 hits, 6 earned runs, gave up 2 homers. Did have a good night for Mookie Betts. He went 4 for 5 with 3 RBI and a couple bombs, but not enough when you're giving up 10 runs.
Yeah, absolutely. It was representative again of how tough a night it was in baseball. If you didn't have 4 homers on your fantasy team, you probably lost ground last night. That's how tough it was out there. That 10-7 score wasn't really representative of how close the game was. It was 10-3 until like the last inning. Mookie Betts did have a 2-homer game, 4 for 5 with 3 RBI, heck of a game. But Emmett Sheehan really has a gopher ball problem. And the Dodgers bullpen is getting pretty taxed. Last night, Sheehan had to wear it for a little bit because they threw a bullpen game in a doubleheader on Sunday. It's weird. I was talking about this in a different game, in a different context there, but we're four days out of the All-Star break, and already you're hearing broadcasts talk about bullpens being short, being taxed. We're just off the All-Star break where we were able to recharge. It's just the way pitchers are used these days. Bullpen pitchers going no more than an inning at a time, pitchers going, never going more than three times through an order. It's made for a better pitching product, but at the same time, it means sometimes your lesser pitchers have to carry more innings. And that's what happened last night on both teams for that matter too. Phillies had to bring in Juan Duran for the last out in this one because they couldn't get the game done before he got in there. So high scoring game there. We'll see what happens tonight. A lot of rain on the East Coast. We'll be talking about that later in the last segment.
You mentioned we had a lot of home runs around baseball last night, Jeff. Joe Ryan was on the pitching end of six of those, tied for the most allowed by any pitcher since 1900. That's not good. That's not a sentence you want to be part of. ERA jumped from 2.85 to 3.38 after last night. He had allowed seven homers, Jeff, in his previous 82 innings. But Twins end up losing 13-4. Twins now five games back in the division. Still just three back in the AL wildcard because it is the American League. Plus 350 right now to make the postseason. Twins are one of several teams, Jeff, that kind of have a tough decision to make over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think this is a separation week. We saw it's a first of four-game series with the Guardians. Guardians no longer the lowest scoring team in baseball after last night. They passed up the Blue Jays as far as that goes. That was the thing that was so wild about that is Ryan's been so good, but the ball was flying out of Progressive Field last night and flying out everywhere in baseball right now too. It's warmer weather. I think that has something to do with it there, but like you said, the Twins have been a nice little surprise, still a high scoring team, still one of the things that's really kind of been a nice story, but their pitching is pretty awful. And when your ace gets rocked like that, it sets the tone for the week.
Folks, you want to bet smarter? Then you need everything we have to offer at rotowire.com, including our brand new smart money tool, which shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving. So you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. Rotowire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use the promo code VSIN. Put that in at checkout. That gets you 15% off any of our subscription plans. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN.
All right, Nick. We had a big day in baseball, but there's big news in basketball as well. Although the lack of news is what we're going to start off with there. With LeBron, no rush on his decision. He's dragging it out again.
Who could have seen this coming, Jeff? I am shocked.
I know.
I think the basketball world is shocked that LeBron James is kind of commanding the spotlight here. He waited until after the World Cup finished up. There was some momentum. I'm not sure what it was really based on, but a lot of people seem to think the decision was coming yesterday. Now the same people are saying, well, it could be today. I don't know when it's going to happen. LeBron could drag this out really as long as he wants. Although it was interesting that Adam Silver applied a little bit of pressure over the weekend. He's like, hey, LeBron, we got to get the schedule built out here. We like to put our featured players on those national TV games. We kind of need to know where you're playing next season. So I do think we get the decision by the end of the week. But it is worth noting, Jeff, we have seen a bit of a reversal at the top of this market. So when I checked at about 8 a.m. this morning, the Miami Heat were the betting favorite as they were yesterday. They were minus 115. The Cleveland Cavaliers are now the favorite at DraftKings, plus 120 for LeBron to play his next minute as a Cavalier. The Heat have fallen to plus 140. Golden State still very much in the mix at plus 450. And the Philadelphia 76ers, who were 8 or 9 to 1 yesterday, depending on where you looked, they are now 6 to 1. Now they were 5 to 1 a couple hours ago. So this is a market that continues to move like crazy. And believe it or not, Jeff, I don't know who the people are that are tossing thousands and thousands of dollars in this market. At Kalshi right now, we are up over $180 million in volume on LeBron next team.
I don't get that. I just don't understand that. I don't want to yuck everybody else's yum. I just don't understand that at all there. But hey, enjoy yourselves, folks. Go crazy. Any other big free agents? He's like really the last domino, isn't he?
In some ways, yeah. I think LeBron is kind of holding up the transaction market, right? We saw the Lu Dort trade over the weekend, which wasn't going to impact, you know, any teams that are in the LeBron race. But I do think there will be more dominoes that fall, you know, particularly for Miami, who has a roster to fill out, right? You know, Cleveland, if they don't get LeBron, you're basically running it back with last year's team. Maybe you make a few tweaks here or there. You know, Philly's already made their big move with Jaylen Brown. But I think Golden State and Miami are the two teams where they're kind of waiting on LeBron's decision to dictate what they do the rest of this offseason. And, you know, I think the Heat would look around at a player like DeMar DeRozan. You know, there are still some veteran free agents out there. There are some tradable contracts sitting out there that I think could happen after we see where LeBron will be playing. But this is what LeBron does, man. This is what he does. Yeah. He's not somebody who's, you know, going to shy away from the spotlight. He's not going to make a quick decision. I'm curious to know how this decision is eventually going to be conveyed. You know, is it going to be a Shams tweet? Is there going to be some sort of television special? Will it be revealed on a live podcast? I have no idea. But as of right now, if you're a believer in what the market is telling us, the Cleveland Cavaliers considered the slightest of favorites over Miami to land LeBron James.
Yeah, I think the Miami point's a great one there, too. They don't even have a roster right now. It's crazy to see that, and we're this deep into the offseason there. So we'll wait and see on that one there. Got NFL training camps opening up this week. We got Carolina and Arizona full-on training camps tomorrow. The rookies are reporting today, both for Carolina and a lot of other teams, actually, believe it or not. So a lot more football content coming your way, including in the upcoming next segment here on Prop Points. Rate that prop coming up next. This is Prop Points. We'll be right back.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. We've got a full slate of Major League Baseball games to break down. We'll have our guy Eric Halterman stopping by in a bit with his card. We'll get Jeff's full card to finish out today's show. But to dip our toes in a little bit, we will play one of our favorite games that we do here on Prop Points. It is time for Rate That Prop.
The number is posted. The verdict is next.
These guys are 11.
Let's rate that prop.
All right. One of our favorite games here on Prop Points. It's Rate That Prop. Our producer, Michael Cohen, has carefully curated some player props, and we will have a scaling meter from 1 to 5, and we will do exactly what the title implies. We will rate that prop based on how likely we are to actually make that wager. So we'll do 3 on the baseball side, and then we'll hit some NFL player futures. Jeff, let's start out with Framber Valdez. He, of course, is on the hill tonight. We're looking at his outs recorded market. Valdez over 17.5 outs, -110. Rate that prop.
All right. First of all, Framber Valdez, well-rested. Hasn't pitched since July 9th. Hasn't pitched in 12 days. He's hit that number in 4 of his last 5 starts. Seems like it's a pretty good number here, right? They went extra innings too last night, so that might also further, you know, knowing that the bullpen is taxed. But I'm starting to become wary of they need it from him sort of outings. It doesn't always work out that way, and I'm looking more at the opponent here, the Cubs in Wrigley Field. I distrust any pitcher going against them there. You want to check the weather, obviously, anytime you got a Wrigley Field start there, to check that aspect of it out there today. Not as hot, and the wind is blowing in, so that one is one thing that's working against him. I mean, against the Cubs. But last 30 games, 118 WRC plus, 4th in baseball. At home in Wrigley, it's 120, 2nd in baseball. Versus lefties, 118, also 2nd in baseball. solid three here because of the Cubs lineup. The weather conditions make me want to think that it might be a better chance of going deeper, though.
All right, we'll start things off with a 3 out of 5. We'll take that. So let's move on to a hitting prop, Jeff. We are taking a look at the Washington-Colorado series, this one in Denver. Almost a disappointing 10 runs on the board last night for a game that closed with a total of 12. We're going to take a look at C.J. Abrams to record an RBI, over 0.5 RBI tonight, minus 102 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Rate that prop.
The over tonight, today, over under tonight is 13, by the way. They're doubling down on that. Michaelis versus Michael Lorenzen. And Michael Lorenzen's one of the reasons why I like this one. C.J. Abrams on his merits should be always a consideration for a half an RBI. Getting that RBI, he's got 72 on the season, batting again, cleanup against the Rockies against Michael Lorenzen in Coors Field. I think we like that. Lorenzen has pitched better lately. Two earned runs or fewer in 6 of his last 7 starts, but you still get to pick against that Rockies bullpen. Abrams does have 1 homer and 7 at-bats against Lorenzen. I'm rating this one a 4. I like it.
Take a look at one more hitting prop, and we're going to go to Braves Padres. Drake Baldwin, Jeff, over 1.5 total bases tonight. Walker Buehler on the hill for San Diego. This one almost even money, minus 101 at DraftKings. Rate that prop.
Yeah, I like getting to the Drake on this prop here. Good job on Michael Cohen on finding this one. Baldwin did go 0-for-4 last night, but he had 10 hits over the weekend in 3 games against the Rangers. He's in good form right now, going up against Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler has been horrible lately. 20 earned runs in 11 innings. He's got a 650 ERA and 167 whip on the road. Yeah, let's go with this here. At even money, basically, I'm going to rate this one a 4.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the best bettors are already getting ahead. You can lock in early bird pricing at our VSiN football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to our 2026-27 NFL betting guide, plus the upcoming college football betting guide, giving you everything you need to attack futures, win totals, conference races, and the upcoming season before kickoff. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full VSiN Pro access to everything we do across every sport all the way through the Super Bowl, that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe.
All right, we teased this earlier. It's getting to be more and more NFL time. Training camps are opening up. Let's hit some NFL player props for Rate That Prop. You're going to my neck of the woods. Houday, let's go. Joe Burrow, over 3,999.5, i.e. 4,000 regular season passing yards, minus 110. All these odds are at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Nick, rate that prop.
All right, so we kind of have to throw out last season to some degree. You know, you look and say, all right, he didn't even get to 1,900 a year ago. But obviously Joe Burrow missed a ton of time. Essentially, when he stayed healthy, he has smashed this number. So really, this market is, do you think Joe Burrow stays healthy? And history would suggest that this is a 50-50 proposition. So look, the more I broke this down, Jeff, you know, in theory, Burrow could probably play 15 games and still go over this number, maybe even 14, depending on what kind of pace he's on. He averages about 270 yards per game for his career. I'm going to give this a 4 because I am in on Joe Burrow. I'm in on the Cincinnati Bengals this year, and it's no fun to just sit here and give it a 1 or a 2. But I will say, would I actually tie up my money all season to bet this at minus 110? Probably not. Even if I'm in on the Bengals, you know, the production part of it is not really a question to me. It's 100% about health for Joe Burrow. So I'm giving it a 4 because I do think the production will be there, but you're probably better off just betting his yardage game to game instead of tying your money up for 6 months on a minus 110 play.
I think you're right. And I think you bring up a good point generally about these season long props is, you know, I think we look for reasons to bet overs more than we, but unders, but things go wrong more often than we give credit for. I think we should be probably as a whole, if we're sharp bettors, be looking for more unders. You know, I think we see that especially with running back props all the time, rushing yards. So I think that's maybe something to dig into for future episodes is maybe find our favorite fades as well. All right, let's move on to the next one here. It's going to be Bijan Robinson. going first or second in almost every single fantasy draft. Maybe every once in a blue moon you see him drop to third. 1,174.5 regular season rushing yards over at -110 at DraftKings. Rate that prop.
So I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 5. Now, Bijan went well over this number last year, almost 1,500 rushing yards. He went over this number in 2023 as well. So like the Joe Burrow prop, you know, you feel pretty good about Bijan smashing the number if he stays healthy. But I do have some questions about the Atlanta Falcons. Like, even with Tyler Allgeier gone, it's not a total lock to me that Bijan goes over this number if he stays relatively healthy. You know, this Falcons team, I think you're looking at a situation where the offense is pretty top heavy. It's Bijan Robinson. It's Drake London. Sometimes it's Kyle Pitts. And that's about it. I mean, you're going to have teams. You're going to have defenses loading up to slow down Bijan. If you do that, you're probably going to beat the Falcons. I think the quarterback play might be really, really rough. I still have some level of hope for Michael Penix. But Lord knows, Jeff, I am not a Tua guy. And he's probably going to be starting the season at quarterback. And then, as you alluded to, Jeff, I mean, with Bijan simply being a running back in the NFL, he is exposed to more injury risk than just about any other position. I know he's stayed pretty much completely healthy so far in his career, but you just never know with running backs. So we'll give it a 3 out of respect to Bijan Robinson, but another prop I'm not thrilled to have money tied up in for 6 months.
I'm with you on that one there. You would think that the departure of Allgeier might push me towards that, but you know, Brian Robinson can do it pretty much exactly the same thing. Odd offseason for the Falcons, too. A lot more of just like consolidating instead of adding anything. In fact, yeah, have fun naming like the number 2 and 3 receivers for this Falcons team. It's a weird team as far as that goes. All right, commentary aside, this is your area here. AJ Brown, a lot of excitement with him joining New England. 1,124.5 regular season receiving yards, -110 again. Rate that prop.
We're going with a 4 out of 5. For AJ Brown. Now, he went well under this number last year, but played in only 15 games. He was at just a shade under 67 yards per game. So theoretically would have gone just over if he had played the full 17. He's gone over this number twice in his career, smashed it in both 2022 and 2023. That yards per game figure last year easily his lowest since 2021. He had been sitting in the 83 to 88 yards per game range the previous three seasons, but he now, of course, teams up with Drake May, who had an excellent second year in New England. Very clearly the number one wide receiver for a team that does have some depth at the position, but no real competition for that wide receiver one designation. Drake May threw for roughly 1,000 more yards than Jalen Hurts did last year. If you prorate it to each guy playing 17 games, Hurts played only 16. Drake May led the NFL in completion percentage, but both New England and Philly were near the bottom of the league in pass rate, which is what you'd expect for the Eagles. They're a run-first team, and as part of the reason that AJ Brown is not on that roster anymore. But with the Pats were playing with a lead for a ton of their schedule. I don't know that that's going to be the case again. If Brown stays healthy, I think he completely smashes this number. Jeff, he has not had the major injuries. He does have a history of missing some time in season. So that's why I'm stopping at a 4, but I think you got a guy who's eager to prove he is still one of the elites at the position. I don't think it's crazy to look at AJ Brown at 20-1 to lead the NFL in receiving next season. We're going to switch things back over to Major League Baseball when we come back. Eric Halterman giving us his betting card on the other side. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line is Eric Halterman, RotoWire's features editor and MLB analyst over at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Halterman. Eric, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Your Phillies had a big win over the Dodgers last night on national television on ESPN. We get a reprise tonight. Justin Robleski versus Zach Wheeler. What do you got for us in that game?
Yeah, I hope I'm not too much of a homer here, but I do like the Phillies in this one. Again, they had a pretty sizable starting pitcher advantage in game one, Christopher Sanchez against Emmett Sheehan. I think Zach Wheeler versus Justin Robleski is a pretty similar story. Wheeler has just been amazing this season since returning from thoracic outlet surgery. At this point, his numbers are basically even better than we've ever seen before, a 2.13 ERA. that's a career best. An 0.89 whip, that's a career best. His 30% strikeout rate and 6% walk rate aren't quite career best, but they would be career best for most pitchers out there. He's had a remarkable season, and he's not fading either. He's coming off three straight starts with double-digit strikeouts. I think you could look at his win prop. I haven't seen the number for that yet, but that will be pretty interesting. You could look at his strikeouts, his outs, anything Zach Wheeler related I like here. I also like the Phillies on the run line to try to get a nice little payout, see if Wheeler can beat Wroblewski by at least two runs. Wroblewski is coming off a couple starts with some good strikeout numbers himself, but on the whole, his 2.69 ERA this season comes with ERA estimators in the low fours. He has good control, but for most of his starts, that's about all he has. That's just a lot less than Zach Wheeler offers. So I think the Phillies should be pretty comfortably favored in this one.
Eric, let's take a look at Pirates-Yankees. New York winning the first game of that series last night, got to Braxton Ashcraft early on. Tonight we get Bubba Chandler taking on Will Warren, and you have a Bubba Chandler strikeouts prop for us.
Yeah, I do, because the Yankees have the highest strikeout rate over the last 30 days by almost 2 points, 28.4%. The Angels are second worst over that stretch at 26.5%. Now, Bubba Chandler, he can be hit or miss here. He has one start with 11 strikeouts this year. He has one start, actually just two starts ago, with zero. He has been all over the place. If this one misses, it could miss bad, but he surrounded that zero strikeout start with a pair of six strikeout starts, and most of the time lately, he's been pretty on point. It's been just such a hit or miss season from him, but we know he's extremely talented. He was one of the top pitching prospects in baseball before his debut. The stuff is there. The command goes from start to start, but against the Yankees team that has been having some major strikeout issues lately, I think this is a reasonable gamble to make here. I mean, I suppose they're all gambles in a sense, but this one is one more than normal because of how up and down Bubba Chandler has been. But given the matchup, I think we're going to see an up from Bubba Chandler today.
Last night, in a revenge game, Freddie Peralta did not get revenge against his former team, the Brewers. In fact, they took it out on him and friends with a big power display. Now have the best record in baseball. Tonight, we get the reverse revenge game. Brandon Sproat going up against his former organization, the Mets, and Zach Thornton. What do you like in this game?
I think I like some runs in this game. I think this one might go over nine runs here. In the last 30 days, these two lineups have been better than average, not amazing. The Mets sit 12th by Team WRC Plus over that stretch. The Brewers sit eighth, so good enough that they can score some runs on some mediocre pitchers, and that's what they'll be faced with today. The Mets do seem to like the lefty Zach Thornton, who is not a particularly big prospect. He is a prospect, but merely a fifth-round pick back in 2023, never ranked near the top of prospect lists. He does have good numbers through three starts, a 2.60 ERA, an 0.92 whip, but ERA estimator sitting right around four, the strikeout and walk numbers, ground ball numbers, all of them entirely ordinary. And if you look at Thornton's minor league numbers this year, they're pretty unimpressive. A 4.02 ERA, a 1.36 whip in 14 outings. This does not look like somebody who's going to settle in and really become anything close to a frontline starter. I think if the Mets get a solid number five out of Zach Thornton, they'll be happy, which means I think a Brewers lineup can score some runs against him, and I think they'll probably need to because Brandon Sproat is looking like a pitcher that the Mets should have traded away this season. A 5.16 ERA, a 1.37 whip on the year. He gets some strikeouts for sure, 25% strikeout rate. I think I've recommended an over on his strikeouts prop on this show before because he can miss some bats, but he can miss the zone as well. An 11% walk rate is quite poor. He's another one who has been very up or down this year, and he's coming off a pair of down starts. His last start, he went just three innings against the Pirates. Two starts ago, he went four innings against the Diamondbacks. So it's been up and down, but a lot of down lately for Brandon Sproat. Meanwhile, Zach Thornton looks like he's hopefully going to settle in as a four or five starter. I don't think either of these guys is going to keep the scoring down today. I think we're going to see a pretty easy over in Mets at Brewers.
We'll talk Marlins Astros in just a moment, but folks, the Circus Survivor documentary is back for another season, and this one is bigger than ever. 7 all-new episodes kick off every Wednesday starting tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Episode 1 takes you inside the growth of the most electrifying contest in sports betting, now with nearly $19 million on the line in the massive new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes even higher. Follow the sharp minds and bold personalities who think they've got what it takes to go the distance. Whether you play Circus Survivor yourself or just love the drama of a season-long grind, this is must-watch TV. Check it out every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. Our friend Eric Halterman, MLB analyst for us at rotowire.com, stopping by the Progressive guest line to give us some plays for the Tuesday MLB card. Eric, you just gave us an over in Mets Brewers. We got Marlins Astros, game 2 of that series on the docket in Houston at 13 runs on the board last night and an 8-5 win for the Astros. Marlins, big road over team. Astros, top 5 home over team on the year. Are we leaning into that trend?
Yeah, I think we are, and it's going to have a lot to do with the two pitchers, Tyler Phillips and Tetsuya Amai, who we'll get to in a minute. But should also mention the Marlins in the last 30 days are third by Team WRC Plus, so they can put up some overs on their own the way they've been hitting recently. Really weird top three, by the way, in the last 30 days. The best three offenses by WRC Plus are the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Marlins, as we all suspected. So stay alert for some over potential for those three. With the Marlins facing off against Tetsuya Amai, again, they might get the 9 runs all by themselves. Amai, maybe we should just never bet anything involving Amai because he's been so unpredictable this year. It's been something of a theme on today's slate, apparently. We've got several of the most up-and-down starting pitchers out there, but Amai has them all beat. In Amai's last 2 starts in June, 21 strikeouts against just 1 walk, allowed 3 runs across those 2 outings in 12 innings. In Amai's first 2 starts in July, he has 5 strikeouts and 8 walks. He's allowed 7 runs in a combined 5 innings of work. I have no idea what Tetsuya Amai is going to do on any given day, but I'm going to guess it's going to be nothing very good. He has a 6.06 ERA and 1.50 whip on the season. Walks a 14% walk rate. That's just not tenable as a major league starter. So I'm going to assume he's going to have a bad day here. And if he doesn't, Tyler Phillips could easily have that bad day himself. And the Astros could do a lot of work in getting to this over. Phillips has had a few good starts in there, but he's had a few very poor ones as well. He only went 1 inning in his final outing of the first half at a 3 1/3, a couple starts before that. The ERA for Phillips on the year is good at 3.48, but the ERA estimator is all in the high 4s pretty much. This is the guy who's been getting by on smoke and mirrors, and I think the Astros are going to score plenty today. I think this one could end up being well over those 9 runs.
Jordan Alvarez, the current Triple Crown leader in all 3 categories in the American League, pretty heavy favorite for the AL MVP as well. Got one more game to hit. My Cincinnati Reds, I'm trying to delay it as long as enough as possible, but might actually be happy times tonight. What say you?
Yeah, I would pick your Reds as slight favorites at the Mariners. Neither offense has been particularly good recently or really throughout the season, especially in the case of the Reds. But the last 30 days, 23rd in Team WRC Plus is Cincinnati. Seattle is 24th. So no real advantage there, but a huge advantage on the mound for the Reds. Chase Burns has been one of the breakout stars of the season. A 2.54 ERA for him. He has a 29% strikeout rate, which he pairs with a 9% walk rate. That walk rate is fine when you can strike out that many batters. That's not a problem. He is just overpowering with his fastball slider combo. Meanwhile, Luis Castillo, a 4.93 ERA on the year, is maybe a little bit worse than he deserves, but he does not have the strikeout stuff he had at his peak, down to a 21% strikeout rate. There's not much left there. He's a lot worse than Chase Burns, so I'd take the Reds.
Great stuff, as always, from our good friend Eric Halterman. Find all of his work for us over at rotowire.com. Make sure you check him out on Twitter on X at @Eric_Halterman. We'll keep picking through the Tuesday MLB slate when we come back. Jeff Erickson's best bets on the other side. We're watching Prop Points here on VSiN. We'll be right back.
watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. Capping off the show with Jeff Erickson's best bets in Major League Baseball. We'll both give you our best bets of the night in just a bit. Jeff, let's go out to that Dodgers-Phillies series to start things off. Justin Wroblewski on the hill taking on Zach Wheeler. We got the Phillies as minus 123 moneyline favorites at home. Total is up at 9. Now we got some weather elements we need to be aware of, Jeff. So how are you breaking this one down?
Yeah, entire East Coast, there's a lot of rain in the forecast. I don't know about the severity of it, but there's high chance in a lot of these places. So keep that in mind when we're looking at some of our bets here, especially in terms of like pitcher strikeouts, things of that nature there. It might be a little more challenging to deal with that. I thought some fascinating things going on in this series. Trey Turner last night, two errors, two homers. Really bad errors, both of them there. And in service of Christopher Sanchez, he did his best to try to give the game away defensively, then turned around and helped cement the win by hitting two home runs. He's really heated up lately, too. 1030 OPS over the last 21 days, 830 OPS at home. Just a quick note, media note there. ESPN had a round of layoffs this morning, and sad news always there. Carl Ravitch did a great job of the national broadcast last night. Just want to say a word of appreciation for Carl. I once did a KBO broadcast with he and Eduardo Perez. I was on for a couple innings, like 2 a.m. my time there. In the height of COVID, and KBO was the only thing going on, and they were really kind to me. Carl's been there for like 3 decades at ESPN. Shocking to see him get let go last night. I'm sad to see that there. My play on this game is the Phillies under on the team total at 4.5. I still think they win the game, but they're below average against left-handed pitchers, of which Justin Wroblewski is 88 WRC plus against lefties this year.
Take a look at Pirates Yankees. Jeff, Eric Halterman gave us a Bubba Chandler strikeout prop earlier in the show. Will Warren, the pitcher on the other side of this one, Yankees favorite on the money line, total sitting 9.5, and you are going to play into that total.
I am. Even though it's a high number, I think I'm still going to go over on this one here. Will Warren got off to a great start this season. My AL Tout Wars team really enjoyed it. I got him for a couple bucks in the auction really late. AL only league. It hasn't been as great lately. Last 30 games, 630 ERA, 150 whip. It's a little bit better at home overall, 380 ERA, 120 whip at home, but that's a lot of some good starts early in the season accounting for that there. Going up against Bubba Chandler, who has a high strikeout upside, but he also has a huge walk upside as well. Bubba Chandler's last 30, 531 ERA, 172 whip on the road, 488, 145. He's just a struggling pitcher. And I understand the Yankees lineup hasn't been clicking all cylinders. It did last night. You get the Pirates bullpen on top of that to boot. I'll take the over 9.5, minus 105 at DraftKings.
Red Sox going for 15 straight tonight, home against the Baltimore Orioles. Kyle Bradish pitching for Baltimore. We do have a pitching change for the Boston Red Sox. Initially thought Ranger Suarez would be on the hill. Turns out it'll be Eduardo Rivera instead. Baltimore slightly favored on the road money line at minus 110. And we're getting that same total as yesterday, Jeff, at 8.5.
Yeah, and Rivera is actually pretty good. And I understand why Baltimore is favored, even though the Red Sox have won 14 in a row. It's kind of bizarre. But you know, they want to push back Ranger Suarez at least one more day, pushed it pretty hard in his rehab assignment. Plus some rain in the forecast here in this game as well. I know the under let us down last night. If you played it, I didn't play it, but I know we advocated for it a little bit there. Rivera has actually pitched very well in a long relief capacity. It is an opener at some occasions, 289 ERA, 0.96 whip. I like it when the ERA and the whip match well together. Kyle Bradish just got paid 5 years, $90 million extension. Last 30, he's been much better. Remember, he got off to a bumpy start. He's been more of the ace that we expected that the last 30 days. 239 ERA, 0.87 whip. So I'm going to go with the under on this one, minus 110 over at FanDuel, under 8.5.
Let's go back to that Padres-Braves game tonight in Atlanta, where we have Walker Buehler taking on Ronaldo Lopez. Braves, minus 147 is your money line price. Total is up at 9. I know you're not a fan of what we've seen from Walker Buehler of late, Jeff. How are we going to bet into that?
Yeah, we already talked about that 20 earned runs in his last 11 innings over three starts. Much worse road ERA than home ERA. Atlanta, a pretty good place to hit on top of that there. Reynaldo Lopez has pitched pretty well since coming back into the rotation. The minus 147 on the money line is a pretty high price to pay. So I'm going to go a different way here. I'm going to go with the run line, a minus 1.5, get plus 145 over at Circa there. I do like the Braves to win by a couple runs.
Brewers looking to keep it going after a sweep over the weekend. They took game one from the Mets last night. We get Zach Thornton taking on Brandon Sproat. Thornton starting to make a name for himself since coming up. He's pitched well. Brandon Sproat, mixed results. We've seen the good and the bad so far from him this season. Milwaukee, a minus 136 favorite on the money line. Total sitting at 9 over at DraftKings.
Yeah, this is interesting here because I think that the Brewers, they're probably going to win again because the Mets, you get to pick on the Mets as a whole, their lineup, everything that's going around. Zach Thornton might be pretty good though. Frequent pickup over the last couple of weeks in fantasy leagues, 260 ERA. He's in James Anderson's prospect rankings over at RotoWire. Not a huge strikeout guy generally, but the Brewers are sneakily not as good against lefties. 92 WRC plus against lefties. Kind of a surprising number given some of their good right-handed hitters like William Contreras, got to get the right Contreras there, Jackson Churio, others. But and Andrew Vaughn is going to play a lot more now that Sal Frelick is out too. So another righty gets into that lineup. I am going to play the over 4.5 strikeouts for Thornton in this one here. You get plus money on it over at Caesars, plus 124. I think he sticks in a little long enough, especially, again, that bullpen got taxed over pretty good yesterday.
We got Tigers-Cubs at Wrigley Field tonight. Cubs a slight favorite on the money line, minus 122. Total down at 8, Jeff, despite David Peterson being on the hill opposite Framber Valdez, a pair of lefties.
Yeah, anytime there's a Wrigley Field game, let's check the weather. Sure enough, it's only 76 degrees. There's some precipitation in the forecast and a 20-mile-an-hour wind projected to be blowing in. So, Wrigley is the most affected, I think, by wind conditions. When you see it blowing out, you see some really high totals. When you see it blowing in, it can really suppress the home run balls there. If that truly holds up, and sometimes the wind can shift, and sometimes it's harder to predict the wind. But right now, I love the under, even with these two mediocre starting pitchers. It's a shame because I have Dylan Dingler everywhere, and he had another huge game last night, 4-for-5 with 2 homers. I'd love to use him against Peterson here, and I'll use him in fantasy, but I'm probably not going to use him in DFS or bet a prop on him tonight. I'll take the under 8.5. You get it at minus 125 at the score. Shop around on here because I'm seeing a lot of variance in that total. I've seen it as low at 7.5 in some shops.
We got your Cincinnati Reds, Jeff, out west, taking on the Seattle Mariners. Luis Castillo on the hill for Seattle and a well-rested Chase Burns going tonight for Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. Chase Burns skipped the All-Star game. Got paid last pitched on July 8th, though. They're kind of like maintaining him, especially as this season. excuse me. I'm getting a wildfire cough from you through the screen. Sorry about that. Chase Burns, he's got paid. This season is slipping down the drain for the Reds, so they're kind of maintaining, watching his innings. But I like him tonight against the Mariners. Mariners have a 22.6% K percentage against righties. That's ninth in baseball at home. It's 24.1%. We've seen a lot of times where strikeout totals are much higher in Seattle for their pitchers than on the road. And meanwhile, Chase Burns has a higher strikeout rate on the road as well, 11.9 K per nine. The only thing I'm worried about is twofold. It's whether they, rest Burns, kind of cut him short like the Brewers did with Jacob Mizorowski last night, and whether the Reds woke up Cal Raleigh last night with just a crazy dumb sequence where they intentionally walked a batter to load the bases, went away from a left on left just to pitch to Cal Raleigh, first pitch grand slam, fun times. Chase Burns over 7.5 Ks. It's an alt line plus 130 at DraftKings.
Let's hand out our best bets of the nights to wrap things up before we hand it over to Money Moves, Jeff. So I know you like Chase Burns. That's going to be on the card. And what else do we want to add as a best bet of the night?
I'm going to go Yordan Alvarez. Hey, going out on a limb here, the AL Triple Crown leader in all three categories going up against Tyler Phillips. Over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, you get it plus a one over at DraftKings.
I'm going to go Wyatt Langford. 2+ hits plus runs plus RBI tonight against the White Sox. Could grab that minus 126 at DraftKings. Langford hitting almost 360 over the last month. So I like the price on the 2+. And we'll give you a little variety here and officially lock in the Minnesota Vikings to make the playoffs. We'll talk more about that throughout the week. I don't know if they're winning the NFC North. I think that's still going to be the Detroit Lions, but I'm in the bag for this Vikings team making the playoffs plus 154. Money Moves coming up next here on VSiN. Stormy Bonatoni, JBT, Adam Burke stopping by the show. Stay tuned. You're watching the Sports Betting Network.